Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Sarah and Vinny.
Alice at 97.3, Sarah and Vinny, Alice's morning show. Happy Friday. We are going to jump right to the news because we get to talk to a good friend of ours.
The Radio Alice Report.
What's up, everyone? This Alice Report is brought to you by my friends at All Natural Stone. They do excellent work. You're going to love the selection of tile and slab countertops they've got. Check them out. They're open by appointment in Berkeley, Burlingame, San Jose, and Dublin.
Yay!
And online at allnaturalstone.com. All right. So, as you mentioned, we've got Scott Budman on the phone from NBC Bay Area and our chief correspondent in the field for the Alice News Network. Scott, are you there?
I am. Hey, guys. Good morning.
Hey, good morning. So, why is that so funny to you?
A-N-N.
Right. It's perfect.
He's, I guess maybe he's not the only correspondent for the ANN, but, you know, definitely lead. Lead correspondent.
Well,
Scott, always great to talk to you.
So, thank you, too.
Scott, I have a couple things, but I'd love to hear what it is that you've got going on over there and what you're looking into right now out there in the field. Is it jobs reports? Is it the stock market? Is it new tech? What are you up to?
You know, so much of it is jobs, Vinny, and everybody is worried if they still have a job and really worried if they don't have a job because California's unemployment rate, we now learned, you know, the governor expects to peak at 25%.
Oh.
That's one out of every four people that's even trying to get a job doesn't have a job. So it's still probably even higher than that if you think about all the people that are out of work. And that means people trying to get unemployment benefits are flooding the system. I've talked to a lot of people who can't get benefits. Normally, it's a pretty fast process. It's a fairly fast process. It's now been really, really slow, and people are freaking out. Maybe they've lost their job. Their spouse, their partner has lost their job. That's the main thing right now is money. And so people might be looking at the stock market if you are invested. And for a while, people were sort of having that, you know, stomach-churning feeling of watching it go down so much. It's leveled off a bit lately, but for a whole lot of people, it's more our economy is really slow and I don't have a job. So things like stocks and new phones and cars and houses are out of the question for a while
because people
just want to know where their next paycheck is going to come from.
Well, one of the trippy things I've been reading, and it actually was in the New York Times this morning, is they were looking at other countries and how they've handled the similar problem, which is having to pull people out of work and make them stay home. What they're saying is these other countries, rather than giving the stimulus bonuses directly to people, and they're saying in the story that the United States, while they were giving whatever it was, $1,200 in some cases to people, the people, instead of going right out and spending that money, which was the point, they went and paid their credit cards down or they took that money and put it in a rainy day fund. And so the stimulus failed. Period. It didn't do what they wanted it to. And in these other countries, their approach has been to work with the employer. Now, I know that can also seem super shady if you give employers the money and it doesn't trickle down and keep people employed, then it didn't work. But it seems to have worked in places like Germany and Australia and even France, they're saying here. I don't know that it's an apples to apples comparison, but in this case, now they're looking at another stimulus, hoping if we get more money sent to us as Americans that we'll turn around and spend it. Eh?
Yeah, well, true. Oh, sorry, go ahead.
No, I was going to say, the thing is, we get this money and then there's no place open to spend it. Like, they gave that money out when the only place you could spend it was Amazon. You know, there was, or, you know, I guess the grocery store. It doesn't work if the economy's shut down. Anyway, sorry, Scott.
You're absolutely right. Yeah, and you're both right. And one of the things that we've seen, and we kind of saw this back in 2008 with the last big recession, the checks given to individuals or direct deposited is going to go to whatever you need right then. And so you're going to say, I've got to pay my rent. I've got to pay my credit card bill. And that makes sense. I mean, it's human nature to want to take care of something that's hanging over your head, as opposed to saying, oh, now I'll go buy that new bike or, you know, make a car payment.
Yeah.
So I think that the more effective way is what you said, Vinny. If you can use a small business loan, you know, what we call PPP, the Payroll Protection Plan,
right,
and keep those small businesses, those restaurants, those hair salons, those gymnasiums, those things that are really getting hit, if you can keep them in business, they can keep their employees on the payroll. And then those employees don't have trouble making rent or the car payment or whatever it is. And then they feel more confident about stimulating the economy. So
it's
I
like
think
a
those
pause
other countries
button.
Are right.
Yeah, yeah, no,
right,
and,
exactly.
And the thing was, when the whole PPP thing started, that first round, there was some gross mismanagement. Like, where was the oversight? I'm sorry, but a company that's worth $100 million does not qualify as a small business.
Right. Or a church.
Right.
Right. And, yeah, I mean, if we learned anything from 2008, it's that banks are going to find a way to do the wrong thing. And
people
we have
just
to
do,
somehow
right.
watch over that. Yeah, and so you had a lot of people, and a lot of young people, you know, the gig workers, the small business workers, who are really the lifeblood of our economy, and all of a sudden they're struggling, and they don't know not only where their next paycheck is going to come from, but where their next rent payment is going to come from. A lot of that would have been solved if the small businesses could have somehow stayed open. Now, the downside of that is you're keeping businesses open and then telling people, no, you can't go get a haircut, or you can't dine out, you know, Sarah, you can't take your husband and kids out to dinner because, oh my God, you know, we can't get too close to people. So we've got this really weird scenario where we have purposely slowed everything down. And by doing so, a lot of people are suffering and are trying to figure out, when can we stop slowing this thing down? And that's the big question mark.
Yep.
Right. Well, the next thing I wanted to mention to you, and I don't know that you specifically have any answers to it, but it's certainly worth looking into, is so we've got a percentage of people who've lost their work and then another percentage of people who've taken their job, if they can, home and started working there. And what they're finding is they love it. And on top of that, it looks like it will help, especially as we see people saying, I'm not taking mass transit. So they'll head out on the roadways all at once. And so maybe the balancing act to that is having the people who are capably working from home keep working from home. And so I don't know what kind of economy will evolve around that, as you've got, well, okay, I'm working from home. I need to have an office. So we've got to build that out. Or we need office furniture. Or we need internet sturdy enough so that we can work from home long term. And so, and even new construction, which isn't, there's not a lot of space in California for it, but maybe that's going to be the new trend too. The home office, you know, set up so that you can buy and, you know, go right into the room and be plug in and ready to work from home. I don't know. It's going to be interesting because most people who are working from home love it.
I do.
Yeah, isn't that funny? And it's something that the Silicon Valley especially has talked a good game about for a long time. Oh, we can do work from home because we make software and, you know, we don't really produce anything and blah, blah, blah. But it's never really been tested until now. And I got to be honest, it seems to be working. These companies are still cranking out products. Everybody, you know, is with some issues. I mean, a lot of people are saying their Wi-Fi is suddenly slow because everybody's on it all up and down their neighborhood all day.
Uh-huh.
But you build that out. You know, build in more power. And one thing that you mentioned is construction. If we're not building as many Salesforce towers or Apple spaceships, a couple of things happen. One, construction goes elsewhere, maybe into, you know, bigger houses or workspaces. Also, all those companies save hundreds of millions of dollars that they don't spend on new campuses. Maybe they can spend that on employee workforces, on helping people work from home, right. that kind of thing, because that money is already there. And granted, you know, Apple didn't build that giant spaceship so people can stay at home and so it can sit there empty. But with some exceptions, you know, Twitter is a good example. Jack Dorsey, Twitter CEO, saying people can stay at home forever. You know, Twitter, they don't own a building. They lease that building, or at least part of it, in on Market Street. So they can afford to have people work from home. And if you think about what they do, you know, people can do it from home.
It's all computer-based.
Right, right. And so I think it could actually work. The question will be, and I'm glad you've been talking to people too, are people really happy about working from home, or are they like scratching at the walls to get out and say, you know, I need that water cooler moment to talk about, you know, what I saw last night on ESPN, or I really need to see my coworkers. I just need to get out of the house, whatever it is.
Yeah, there is a disconnect, you know. You sort of crave human company, even though we're looking at each other. We're all on Facebook Messenger. Is that what we're on?
Yeah.
And so we see each other all morning. We can give hand signals and use sort of our, you know, subtext that gets us to the, whatever the next thing is. But there's a disconnect. I miss you guys. You know, even though I see you every day, we don't have those off-air conversations that we would just would be a part of our normal life. And so I think the water cooler thing is a good mention. Like, there's a culture to being in a workplace. There's a social element to that that is missing when you're stuck at your house.
Agreed. Well, it's going to be interesting, and I hope that you keep an eye on, you know, maybe your left eye on this, Scott, as I know you have your daily stories that you deal with for NBC Bay Area. This is Scott Budman, everyone. But I am curious if there's any area in the country that is sort of built to be the test run for work from home and on a large scale, it's this one, right?
Right. Absolutely.
So we'll probably be the ones that find out if this is the way not only America goes, but in general, we start to transition to a work from home reality. I'm curious because
I know
you'll see businesses open up and be like, yeah, we'll build your, look, I'll give you an example. My brother got sent home from home.
Which brother?
My brother, the middle brother. So he works
Jan.
In. No, sorry, not Jan. The youngest brother. I'm confused, and I didn't mean to bring this up. But anyway, my youngest brother was told, you're going to work from home. You've got the equipment. Do that. So the first thing he finds out is his little kid is walking up to him all day going, Dad, can we play? Dad, can we play? And he has this new incredible guilt complex because he keeps having to tell her, I can't play with you. I can't. I'm working. And so what he had to do, and luckily he has the financial, you know, ability to do this, he built an office in the garage, and he walks out the front door.
Bye.
Dad's leaving. And then he sneaks around the side door into the garage and does his work all day. And he won't go in the house because he doesn't have, and I understand this. I can hear people say, I'm what a puss, but I actually get it. You get bummed telling your kid no all the time. Like, sorry.
And you have to work. So,
right.
But they don't get that. You're here. Why right. aren't you playing with me?
Right. Right. Oh, that's kind of a genius move. And
it is.
Yeah, that's the kind of thing. What if work as we know it, we think of it as financial and we think of it as capitalist and all these things. How much of it is actually social? You know, the idea of leaving your family or going to an office and seeing people at the water cooler, that is all going to change the longer we do this, and the longer mm-hmm. we do this, maybe, like you say, people might just sort of get used to it and say, I'm cool doing this. I don't have to go back to the office, and we can still, you know, meet whatever quarterly projections the company has to meet. Then you really have to have that discussion. Why do we need these big buildings? And
why are we paying this rent and insurance
right.
and keeping
that
the
too,
lights
yeah.
on? And I mean, you know, if you can work out of a 400 square foot office, why would you have a 40,000 square foot office?
Right. And why not go get a bigger home somewhere else because you have more space. You don't have
and
to.
And sell my car. I'm not going anywhere.
Right.
I'm getting rid of that thing, too. Forget I'm checking out.
We've solved all the problems right here with Scott Budman from NBC Bay Area. Thank you, buddy.
That's what we do. Anytime.
Thank you, Scott.
All right. You guys take care.
Scott Budman, everybody.
God, he's awesome. And I don't know that we did the story he planned to. Sorry, Scott, if you had a... I don't know.
He probably had an agenda.
Yeah, he probably did.
That was part of it. That definitely was part of it. And he actually has information on the Elon lawsuit, too. So, maybe
oh, well, an excuse to have him back on another time.
Mm-hmm. Sorry.
Oh, well, yeah. Look, I found it really interesting. So,
all right. Well, anyway, I'll read more text. I don't know. I'm out of time. I can't even do your text. What's coming up in the trash, Sarah?
We'll do the music and brand new music for Friday.
Sarah and Vinny on Alice at 97.3.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.